Well, good evening, folks.
It's just like a slow rain tonight to me in the service. And all of it is the goodness of God. I don't know when I've ever enjoyed a song service any better than I have tonight. Seemed like from the very first song. I don't know how you manage never to miss, but oh, it was good. I thought I could sit here to midnight and listen to this. You surely are blessed. It has to be that there's a good unity among the people. I said to the preacher tonight when we came in and everybody was fellowshipping and there's just enjoying one another, and that's just so good. Yeah. Nothing like that for a church. And God has surely blessed you. Yeah, and I bless him. You have a good man of God, a good pastor. He's a pastor. He looks after his flock, stays with the stuff, has a good wife. And then, not only that, but he has good people around him. God's put some good folks, and you've been truly good to me. I want you to know it. Well, the preacher called me after I got home last night, and he said, would you like for me to just get you a place to stay tomorrow afternoon? That way you won't have to drive those 2 hours. And it is 2 good hours from if you go over and come back. And I said, you know, that sounds good. And he put me in a place down there that was just right. And I got over there, and I tell you what I did. I just decided I'd just go to bed and sleep a while. And I laid down and went to sleep and slept 2 hours. So I feel like now I can preach 2 hours. Are you ready? God really, it was just a nice place. But before that, the pastor's daughter fixed us a good meal, and she said that was just in a hurry. I might could have done better if I'd had more time, but if she'd have done any better, I don't know how it could have been. Wasn't it good? When you eat my cooking, I tell you, in a meal like that, it'll really help you. It'll bless you. And so it's just been good for me to be here. I look forward always to come be with you folks. And I really mean that from the depths of my heart. I believe the Lord would have us tonight to bring a message that has to do with future events. Future events. And I don't know just where, I know where I'm going to start, but we'll see how long we last to see, how we end up. How's that? I want you to turn your Bible to John 14. John 14. And I'm glad he's going to get us out of here. Those songs set the tone for what I'm going to preach, I think. The sweet by and by. Won't we meet on that wonderful, wonderful shore, all of us together that know the Lord. Dear ones tonight, listen to me. If you're young, or if you're not young, if you're an older person, please don't put it off. Prepare to meet God. Not anything is important in this world as to prepare to meet the Lord. If you're ready to meet God, you got the greatest treasure that you could ever have. So I'm going to begin reading in verse 1, and this is a very familiar passage, but Jesus is going to the cross. And I think in these days, that we need some things that will comfort us from the Word of God, don't you? And encourage us to just go on and just do the things God wants us to do until Jesus comes. He will come again. Everything's set and everything's lined up for the coming of the Lord. So Jesus has got a word just before that he goes to the cross. And as he's got these words, he's saying this to his disciples. And I really felt like God had helped me to bring this tonight. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now, there's a lot going on around us, folks, but the Lord's in charge. And therefore, there's nothing the devil can do unless God permits him to do it. If you walk with him, God will keep you here as long as you need to be here. You don't have to be filled with fear. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." You know what he's saying? He's saying, "I'm God. I'm the God-man. I came from heaven, and I am God." Then he goes on to say, "In my Father's house." In my Father's house, that's where we are going, we that know him. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm glad he didn't say many rooms. I got rooms in my house. But he said there are many mansions. I cannot imagine in my life the mansions that the Lord has got prepared out there in the universe by those that know him. In my Father's house are many mansions. He said, "If it were not so, I would have told you." I like this next promise. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." You know who the place is prepared for? It's prepared for all of those that have one day saw themselves as a sinner. Oh, if you've never saw yourself as a sinner, if the Spirit of God has never come to you, young or old or middle age, and you've never saw yourself as a sinner, you ought to really think about that. You are a sinner, and if you are a sinner that's never been saved by the grace of God, you are not in a good place, and you're not in a good condition. But you're better now than you will be if you don't get right with the Lord and you don't come to know him. So he said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again." I will come again. You know, I said this morning, I think at the close of the message, the Lord really wanted us to get this, because the Lord mentioned his coming again 318 times in the New Testament alone. Once in every 25 verses, the emphasis is, "I am going to come again." Somebody said, "Well, why hasn't he already got here?" God don't have to be in no hurry. We're going to be with him forever in eternity. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go," and he has gone, "I will come again." What's he going to do? He's going to receive us unto himself, that where we may be also. You like that? Praise God, we're going to be at home with Jesus. I thought about the loved ones that's already gone, the saints of God that's already there. The biggest part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is already with the Lord. I believe that with all my heart and all of my mind. But here he's telling that he's going to the cross. But as he moves along in the scriptures, he begins to tell us some other things. Now, I know that some of the passages I'm reading and I'm going to deal with tonight are passages that all of us that study the Bible and read the Bible, we already know about them. But I hope it stir up our pure minds by the way of remembrance that the Lord is coming. And he will come and he'll be on time. All I need is the anointing of God and the power of God to help me to preach what is on my heart. I hope you'll pray God will help me to just preach, like he may come tonight. Because he may come tonight. You know, the church in Thessalonica, they were deeply concerned. And they were deeply concerned about the fact that some of their loved ones had passed from this life. And they wondered, if they had missed the coming of the Lord. And they were concerned. They were young believers. We know that we have not missed the coming of the Lord. Now, I want to tell you something. I want to give you a little bit of doctrine right here. I believe in the pre-millennial turn of Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean, preacher? That means that he will come, and pre means that he will come before the tribulation and the great tribulation period. There's a lot of mystery in our day about the Lord's coming. And some now, they're trying to figure it all out. It's already been figured out. And some believe that there's going to be what they call a split rapture. Well, I don't believe in a split rapture. I believe that'd be like something like a rupture, wouldn't it? I use this term. When the Lord comes, he's coming for his bride. He's coming for his bride. And the church of Jesus Christ is the bride. Now, back in the old days, and that's been a long while ago, that was back in 1957, Sue and I met one another, and I won't go into all of that, but I knew just almost immediately that that's the one that I wanted, and so I got busy going that direction. And we married in 1957, but I want to make a point here. When I went over to pick her up at her house, see, we didn't have them big church weddings. I didn't even know what a church wedding was. That's right. There's a lot of things changed. But we love one another. And we went down to my sister's house. And the preacher met us there. And a few of our folks were there. And we got married. My point is this. When I went after my wife, I didn't just get half of her. And then come back 3.5 years later and get the other half. I'm telling you, when Jesus comes, if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, you just better be ready because he's coming for you. I want you to know the Lord's coming. Paul said in that Thessalonica letter, he was writing to the church at Thessalonica in chapter 4 and verse 13. He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Oh, I'm glad I'm not ignorant tonight. One time I didn't know where I was post, where I was off, or where I was pre. But I wanted to know I got in the Bible. And I began to read the Word of God. And I began to study the Word of God. And no man had to tell me that I am premillennial. No man made me premillennial. The Lord Jesus Christ put that in my heart. And from those days on, I've been looking for him to come. I tell you, he is coming. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Concerning them which are asleep. He said that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. And most of you, I guess, can probably almost recite this. But if God gets in the midst, it'll feed your soul. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep. Now, who's asleep? He's talking about the saints of God. From dust we came and dust we shall return. But I want you to know, if you've got loved ones that's out there in the graveside, and you walked out there and you come and it grieved you that they were gone. But I want you to know that their body is in the dust from which they came. But their soul, their spirit is with God. That's a wonderful thing, that their soul and spirit is with the Lord. You know what they're doing? They're sleeping in Jesus. Now, I don't believe in soul sleep. The soul of man is with Christ. The spirit of man is with Christ. I do not believe in soul sleep, but the body is asleep in Christ. But one of these days, Jesus is going to come. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Now, if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, I would beg you and I would plead with you. You better hear me, young man. You better hear me, young lady. You better hear me tonight. Oh, if you, I'm talking about in this place, this is the people of God. God's people that die in the Lord are asleep in Christ. But if you die tonight, or you die next week, or whenever you die, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what's going to happen to you? Your body's going back to the dust. But your soul, your spirit is going to the place that is called hell. Oh, you better hear me right now, young man. And you better hear me, young lady. That day is sure coming to you if you don't get born of the Spirit of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb. But those that are asleep in Christ, oh, the Lord's coming for them. We buried my wife on the 12th day of December. In fact, on the 10th of December, she'll be gone for a year. We put her body back to the dust from which it came. And I go over there, it's about 10 minutes from the house. And I went out to the graveside of many of the saints for Calvary Baptist Church that I pastored for 33 years. And right near them is many of the people that I preached to. And I saw some of them come to the Lord. And I pastored them for 33 years. And they're there with her. And I'll go over there and I stand there by her graveside. And you know what I think when I'm standing there? This may be the hour, and this may be the day when the Lord is coming. And if he comes, we're all going to go up together. You better not fool around, folks, with the things that's going on in these days, but you better make your calling and your election sure. Somebody said, well, what are you talking about? That matter of elected. I don't believe that some are elected to go to heaven and some are elected to go to hell. But I want to tell you one thing. If you've been born of the Spirit of God and washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, you're one of the elect for the family of God, the bride of Christ that's washed in the blood of the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Oh, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. For if we believe, this is what we believe if we're saved, and this is what you're going to have to believe if you ever get saved. For if we believe that Jesus died. Oh, he died. Oh, he suffered. His sweat became as great drops of blood in the garden when he knew that he was going to take the sin of this world, all of the sin of this world, upon himself. For 3 hours, from 6 until 9 in the day, God turned his back upon his own son because he could not look upon sin. Now, if you think you can sin and God don't frown on that sin, he hates sin every day. And for 3 hours, Jesus Christ suffered my hell. He suffered all of you people's hell. He suffered the hell of the whole world, the entire world. I want to tell you, his atoning blood is sufficient to cleanse any man or any woman, regardless of how deep they've gone into the gutter. I'm telling you, there's power in the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We believe that Jesus died, but we don't believe that he just died, but he rose again. He got up out of that tomb. After 3 days and 3 nights, he was in that barred tomb, but he just barred it because he wasn't going to need it, but for 3 days and 3 nights. And he come out of that tomb. And I want to tell you something. Are you listening close? It takes the same power that got Jesus out of the tomb to deal with a sinner that's dead in their trespasses and dead in their sin. And that power that got Jesus out of the tomb got me out of my sins. It takes the mighty power of God. Me and in our day hate the teaching of the power of God. But it takes God's power. It got him out of the grave. And I want to tell you something else. It got me out of that condition, my soul that was dead in trespasses and sin. But hallelujah be to God. I'm telling you, one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come and he's going to get every saint of God out of the grave. Your loved one, my loved one, our friends, our neighbors that know the Lord that's already in heaven, they're going to be coming with him when he comes for his church. Fellas, he's coming for us. Ladies and gentlemen, brother and sister, if you know him, he's coming. And you know what? He's going to bring their spirit and he's going to bring their soul with him. And he's going to raise that body. And it's not going to be any longer a corruptible body, but it's going to be an incorruptible body. It's going to be a body. Well, what kind's it going to be, preacher? It's going to be like is. It does not yet appear what we shall be like, but we do know this, that when he comes and he appears, it's going to be that we are going to be like him. Oh, if that don't stir you and don't stir your soul, I don't know what it'll take. I'm telling you, Christ Jesus is coming. Everything's lined up for his coming. We can do whatever we want to, but the best thing we can do is get ready to meet God ourselves. And then we are to do everything we can to get everybody else to ready to meet God. Are you ready to meet God? What if he were to shout right now and he'd appear in the clouds of glory and he'd come for the church? What kind of condition are you in? Are you washed in the blood? And if you are washed in the blood, are you living for him? Are you counting for him? Are you doing what you can for him. Some of you that are sitting even here tonight, you're not ready to meet God. I can tell that by the countenance on your face. That you're not really interested much in what's going on with God. And I'm not a judge, but I do have some discernment that God's put in my soul. And when I preach, I can see people that's in trouble with the Lord. And there are people here tonight that's in trouble with the Lord. You'd better get it right. Oh, I'm talking about some future events. Future events. Oh, he said, them that sleep in Jesus, he's going to bring them with him. I believe that. Don't you? Amen. He's going to bring the soul and the spirit with him. And that body's going to get up out of that grave. And it's going to be a glorified body. Won't never be any more cancer. Won't never be any more suffering. Won't never be any more pain. The former things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Oh, praise God. What a wonderful Lord. I don't have this. I've got messages that is alliterated, but I'm not preaching it that way tonight. I'm just preaching some scripture upon top of scripture. The Bible said, for this we say unto you, how do we say it? By the word of the Lord. The 66 books has got it all right. Somebody said, well, I don't know about that King James Bible. Everybody talks about that King James Bible, and I really don't know about it. I believe there must be some errors in that King James Bible. Well, I want to tell you this. I've been reading it over 64 years, and I've been reading it and trying to read it. Sometimes I've read it until my eyes seemed like they were give out and were just about to go out. And you know what, preacher? I never have found an error in it yet. So I believe since it got me saved, got me on the right road, I've been on the right road now because I know Jesus for better than 64 years. In fact, I'm moving closer to 65 of knowing Jesus. Praise God. I don't know about you, but it's wonderful to know Christ. I say this according to what? The Word of God. You better get in the book. It's got the blessed hope that we which are alive and remain. Who is that? That's you and I. If the Lord comes before I die, if the Lord comes before you die, if you're ready to meet him, you're going to be caught up. What's going to happen? What is going to take place is your loved one, my loved ones, those that's dead and asleep in Jesus, they're going to get up first. It's not going to be no slow process. It'll come so fast that it'll be like the twinkle of an eye. The Bible said, but we which are alive and remain, what's going to happen to us? The Bible said, shall not prevent them which are asleep. We're not going to bother them that's in the graveyard. God Almighty, his son is coming, and they're going to get up out of that grave. And we are not going to prevent them. And the devil's not going to prevent them. And this world is not going to prevent them. And nothing else is going to prevent them that's died in the Lord. Well, preacher, what if you die before Jesus comes? I'll just go on and be in paradise with the Lord. My body will be in the grave just like everybody else. But I want you to know tonight that he's coming for me. And he's coming for you. We shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord, somebody said, the angel of the Lord. is going to come for us. No, the Lord, the Bible said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Oh, I want to tell you, God's got strange ways. When I got to that particular part right there, I remember when God really started dealing with me about getting saved. He said he's going to come, and he's going to come with a shout. I was laying in the bed, and I was 19 years of age. I had made my profession in the Baptist church. I had gone forth. I had wept some. I'd done all of those things that a lot of people do in this day. But I want to tell you something. I even joined the church. I even got baptized. But did you know, I didn't know Jesus. I just went through a form of religion. I believe in all of those things, but I believe they come after conversion. Amen. And so, I didn't have any love for the church. I didn't curse the church. I wasn't angry at the church or mad at the church. But evidently, according to the Bible, I was against God. And I was, in those days, they built those big old houses. And they had high ceilings. They had big, long windows. We didn't have any idea what our condition was. In fact, we couldn't even spell it properly. You hearing me? So we had this big, long window, and I was back there in the bed getting ready to go to sleep, and I had the windows up. You could hear the frogs. You could hear everything outside, but it'd get real quiet. And on that particular night, I heard a noise. I believe God allowed me to hear that noise. And I thought the Lord was coming. And immediately I knew in my heart that I wasn't ready to meet God. I want to ask you something, buddy. I want to ask you something, young man. I want to ask you something, lady. I want to ask you something. If you were to hear a sound tonight, and you may do it, you could hear that sound tonight. I heard a sound, and I thought the Lord was coming. You know what? If I had any devil in me, and I'm sure I had a lot of sin in me, it scared the devil out of me almost. I thought he was coming. You know what I did? I reached down, and I got that sheet, and I pulled it up over my head. Now, that is in August. Hot weather down there in Georgia. I'm going somewhere with this. When God's dealing with you, a lot of times he begins to gradually speak to you and let you know that he is wooing you and he is drawing you and he is wanting you to come to him and get your sins forgiven. And he's working on me. And as I lay there, I don't know that I've ever told this in this church or not, but it don't matter. I'm supposed to be telling it right now. And I got quiet, and my heart went to beating. And he was saying, somebody, 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 somebody. I was literally scared out of my life. And I laid there, and I thought, the Lord's come, and I'm not ready to meet him. How would it be if he were to descend right now while I'm preaching? What about it, young man? What about it, lady? What about it, sir? How is it over there? How is it on this side? If the Lord were to come right now, would you really want him to come right now? Are you ready to meet him? And all of a sudden, Pastor, I heard a sound. And I don't know how many miles away it was, the way a bird flies, but it was probably at least 10 or 15 miles because things were quiet out in the country. And I heard that big freight up at Fairmount, Georgia, and I heard that old horn begin to blow. You talk about a man that felt relieved. I never felt more relieved in all of my life because I knew that it wasn't the Lord a-coming. But God kept dealing with me. God kept dealing with me. And I didn't know just what was going on. And the winter passed and the spring came. And in the spring of the year, 1957, in that little country church out there that they call Pleasant Valley, the preacher preached that night, and when he preached, the Holy Ghost got a hold of my heart, and the Holy Ghost revealed to me that I was not saved, that I was lost, that I was going to hell, and that I needed to get born again of the Spirit of God. And I want to tell you, I come that night, and when I come to the Lord, and I come repenting, and I come, my friend, calling on him and weeping before him and asking him to forgive me of my sins. And you know what? God saved me that night, and I've never, never got over it. I don't know how long I'm going to preach, but I tell you what, somebody's in this house and God's got you hemmed up. You better get yourself ready to meet God. You better get yourself ready to meet the Lord. The Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. Oh, he's coming. And if he were to come right now, there are people sitting here that would be left. And if he were to come, that ceiling won't mean a thing because that new body we got, we'll just go right through that ceiling. And you'll be sitting here, right here in this place, not knowing the Lord. The Lord himself's going to descend with a shout. You think we'll hear it? I believe we surely will. The voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's a pretty good way to leave here, isn't it? We'll forever be with the Lord. Won't be anymore. Won't be anymore what they call same-sex marriage. Won't be any more liquor where we're going. Won't be any more adultery. Won't be any more fornication. There won't be any more uncleanness. All people think now, in our day, that they can sin and they can get by with it, and they think they are getting by with it. But I want to tell you, God said, even the hairs of your head's numbered. God said, not even a sparrow falls to the ground unless that he's looking and he knows. And how much more would he do for us if we'd let him? And how much more he'd do for you if you're lost, if you'd come, he'd save you from your sin. I'm just preaching off of the cuff. But I tell you one thing, what I'm saying, God's helping me. Amen. The Lord's going to come. Oh, yes, the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I used to quote this verse this way just to get people's attention. The Bible said, wherefore torment one another with these words. Is that what it said? No, that's not what he said. He said, comfort one another with these words. It's a comfort to know he is coming and all that's happening in this country. Don't let it get you sidetracked. Keep your mind on Jesus. I tell you, he'll see us through. Somebody said, well, I'm liable to die of COVID. My wife died of COVID. But I believe that it was time for her to go to be with Jesus. She had suffered so long. I looked at her and cared for her for those 17 years. I don't guess I did the best I could, but I sure did try. But God wanted her to get out of her suffering, and she's with the Lord. That keeps me going. Praise God. I feel right now like I got a tiger in my tank, and I feel like I could run all the way to Kingston, and it's an hour's drive. I'm telling you, when you're just driving the speed limit, but I suppose by morning I will feel like that I run to Kingston. But I want you to know God is real, and he's in my soul, and I'm carried away with him. And I want you to know he's able to save them to the uttermost that have come to God by him. Oh, behold, I show you a mystery. Paul said, you didn't know about this, but I'm going to tell you about a mystery. You know what a mystery is? A mystery is something that was once conceived. It's a secret matter. But now, it is revealed. And you know who it's revealed to? The New Testament church. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Oh, praise God. I'm telling you right now, it's one of the most wonderful things. The Bible said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall all be changed. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about them in the grave. He's talking about them that are not in the grave. We're all going to be changed. I could use a new body. Don't know about you, but I could use a new body. You young folks, enjoy your health and enjoy that good body God's give you and take care of it. Oh, yes, the Bible said we'll all be changed. How are we going to be changed? In a moment of a twinkling of an eye. Now, if I were to wink at you, you'd know it. But the twinkle of an eye is that part that's in your eye that just twinkles. You know, I don't know how to explain it except it's going to be like an atomic second. Well, I'll get ready and I'll have time to get ready. Can you beat an atomic second? When the Lord comes, it's going to be like an atomic second. And we're all going to be changed. If I'm here in this corruptible body, it'll just fall off, and God somehow will give me a new one, and we'll go up together. Now, I don't know whether this is right or not, but it's a good thought. I believe that it could be that we that are saved and know the Lord, nothing's too hard for the Lord. He got that blood and took it all the way back. He got up out of the grave. He created man in his own image, breathed in his nostrils, and became a living soul. I believe God could so arrange it that maybe the people we pastored, the saints of God that's been together along with our family, that he'll bring us all together on the way up. We'll go up through the first heaven. We'll go up through the second heaven. And then we'll go up through the third heaven. And when we get there, we're going to fall, I'm sure, on our knees and on our face and thank Him and glorify Him and bless Him forever and forever. We're going to be with the Lord. Why should we want to rush it? I believe this COVID has sobered a few people. I saw some people get saved because of the COVID. I bless God for that. I praise God for that. And if the people in Washington, D.C. turn our nation into nothing but complete socialism, we're already in socialism, but they want to destroy this nation. Somebody said they ought to have better sense. They would have if they were not controlled by the demons of hell. But what they want is they want us to be under the iron fist of communism. And Brother Ernie, that you support, he's been in many parts around the world. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. The world, this is the last stronghold that God had, and it looks like it's all going to go into chaos. When it reaches a certain point, and God said there's no remedy, Jesus is going to come. When he comes, there's going to be 7 years of tribulation and great tribulation. And that the saints is going to be home. And he's going to revive that Jew. You keep your eyes on the Jew. America's turned their back on the Jew. And the Bible said all nations would turn their back on the Jew. Now, if you don't love the Jewish people, they're God's chosen people. And some are saying that the church replaced the Jew. They done read too far and read somebody in the Bible. The Jew will again be in their land. I don't know. You ever been to the point that you could preach, seem like all night, and you just feel like it? Everybody else probably give out and you need to quit. That's about where I am. I'm telling you that God, I know, brothers and sisters, if you are a brother in Christ, if you're not, I would that you would be one. There's nothing like serving Him. Oh, I'd like to go over there at the end of that tribulation, and the Lord's going to come back. He's going to bring His church with Him on the white horses. And as He comes back, there's going to be a battle, and He's going to defeat the devil, and He's going to bind the devil, and He's going to put a chain on him. Somebody said, well, the devil has got a chain on him. If he is, it must be an awful long one. No, there's no chain on him, but God's going to put a chain on him, and He's going to put him down in the pit. And we're going to see 1,000 glorious years without any sin. Without any sin of any kind. If anybody gets out of line, Jesus is going to be in charge on his Father David's throne in Jerusalem. If you didn't have to go to work and school tomorrow, and if I didn't need strength to drive home, I believe I'd preach about another hour on that. I'm telling you, it's wonderful. It's glorious. It's amazing what God's got planned, isn't it? It's so much a comfort when someone passes if you know that they've had testimony that they really know the Lord. Do you know the Lord? As we stand, the pianist comes. The music director comes. If God, Holy Spirit has His way tonight, Somebody may be hindering you. You may be hindering somebody. But if God, Holy Spirit, has his way tonight, there'll be somebody or more than one that'll walk down this aisle and get on their knees. And they'll call on the Lord and he'll save them. Would you like to be with that one? Well, I think I've been saved. You better not just think. You better make it for sure. You better make it for sure.